You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
If you've got your Bibles, Luke 2, verse 41. Luke 2, verse 41. We will have announcements, but just as a way of extra boost of the announcements, we are having our men's D tomorrow at York Gardens. Come out, men. Picked up Pastor Garrett King early this morning, and so he's raring to go. And then obviously Friday and Saturday, we're going to be in York Gardens. We're going to have some live music, and he's going to be preaching on the Saturday. We are going to have the group from Rotherhithe, Relentless Love, and they're going to be performing before the preaching. And so come out, invite people out. How many know we make the revival happen? By inviting people. I remember when I first started to pioneer the church, and for the first 4 revivals, I handed out about 5,000 flyers for each revival, and hardly anybody came out. I was like, what's happening here? And so one revival I had no flyers, something went wrong, and I challenged the church. We only had about 8 people at the time. I said, "Hand, you need to invite people," and we had record attendance. And God had showed me, listen, it's people that build the church, amen? And so if you join with us, we can make this thing happen, amen? Look at someone and say, help us build the kingdom, amen? Bring somebody out. Especially Friday, Saturday, they're really going to have a good time, and we're going to believe God. Amen. Okay, let's jump straight into our word for today. I'm going to try and not go on too long today. I want to spend some time afterwards in prayer. But last year, I lost my wedding ring in my house. When I'm at home, I take it off. So just in case you're wondering, why am I taking off my wedding ring, yeah? And so I don't take it off when I'm outside. But when both me and my wife, when we get home, we take off our usually ring jewelry. I take off my chains and none of that. I only wear a ring, amen. And so I'd lost it in the house. I don't know where it was. And so for about 2 months, I never had a ring. So what I did is, me and my wife, we went to the jewelry shop. So I thought it was gone. So I thought, I'm going to buy a ring. And when I went into the jewelry shop trying to buy a ring, it wasn't even simple. I didn't know my measurement. And then they were like, do you want a silver one, a gold one, a platinum one? And then it's hundreds and hundreds of pounds. I was like, God, this is long, man. Because this is silver. I paid £10 for this ring. And so I was like, hundreds and hundreds of pounds. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that. You know, my wife's is hooked up. That's not silver. That's on another level. Amen. But that's a whole nother sermon. And so what I did is my wife went to Asda's and she bought these plastic rings. And so I was just wearing these plastic rings and they'd wear out, and I just put it. She was like 10 for £10. And so I was just like, yeah, I can just roll like this. Just keep wearing these, man. Wear them out. And so eventually my wife found the wedding ring. It was in a pocket or somewhere. And she found it like about 3 months later. Now, you know, I was neither here nor there with it. How many know some things you lose, you don't really care? That's just it. You know, it's important, but you don't really care. When I was a kid, I lost my sister. How many know it's a bit more serious? So my sister's 9 years younger than me. So my mom told me, "Watch your sister." We was in a council estate where my mom's friend lived. And so my mom was in her house. She said, "Just watch your sister. I'm going in." And you know when your mom would say she's just going to go in and chat to her friend, but she's in there long. And so some of the kids from the estate, they were kicking a ball around. And I was like, "Oh, let me kick that ball. Come on." And so we started kicking the ball. And then all of a sudden, my mom shouted over the balcony, "Courtney, where's your sister?" I started kicking the ball. And my mom's like, anyway, she started to get quite animated. And so for about 10 minutes, we couldn't find my sister. And what happened is she'd gone into someone's house. And she was in someone's house playing with their kid. Now, when I lose my ring, how many know that's, okay, you lost your ring. But how many know when you lose your sister, you got to find her? I mean, my heart was pumping. My mom was like, we better find. Listen, that would have been it. My mom would have lost 2 kids that day. I think my mom was shouting at me so much, I ran away. I was only about 12. I just ran away. But, you know, because I was getting free meals a day, I came home that night. You know, people that really run away are people that are getting... No, it's too good for me to be running away to Liverpool or Manchester and live in the streets or something like that. I was thinking about this, is that here is my mom. We've lost our sister. She's seeking something. Sometimes in life, you're going to lose some things and you've really got to say, I can't afford to lose this. I've got to get this back. I've got to seek this. And there could be people here today is that you have lost faith. You may have lost your hope. You may have lost love. Some of you here, you may have lost your fire. You used to be on fire and you've lost it. And I want to tell you that I want to preach this week and next week on seeking to regain, because I really believe that God can help us. At the age of where our church is, we're not a baby church anymore. We're still pioneering. We'll always be pioneering. But at this stage of many people's salvation, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, you can get to a place where you start to think about these things. And even as a new convert, 6 months, things can be lost. And so I want to jump straight into this. Luke 2, verse 41. The Bible says, so speaking about Jesus, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the customs of the feast. When they had finished the days, they returned. The boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in their company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Let's pray. Father, we ask you right now for revelation. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us a clear message. I pray, Father, you would take control of this service. Lord, we desperately need you. We lean upon your wisdom. We lean upon your spirit. We lean upon your word. Take sovereign control. Be paramount. Be number one in our lives. Father, we ask you all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. This is a story about Jesus' parent and they lose Jesus. And so they lose Jesus in Jerusalem when they're going for the Passover. And I want to start by speaking about how we can lose Jesus. And I want to premise this by saying when good people lose Jesus, good people. Because how many know in our text it says that they were going to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is God's city. They weren't going to Ayanapa. And they lost Jesus. They were going to Jerusalem. They weren't going to sell crack. They were going to the temple. They were going to, it was the Passover. These are good things. And we got to give them some credit because it probably would have been a hectic time. Everybody's going. If it's the Passover, you're going to Jerusalem. It probably was a hectic time. There's family, there's relatives. It would have been like Black Friday. You ever seen some of those video clips of Black Friday, people fighting for, TV and all of that, kicking and spitting and biting? Here is this couple. They've got their kid and they're going to Jerusalem, but they lose Jesus in Jerusalem, in the very place. So think about this now. What we're saying is, as they're seeking God, they lose God. How many know Jesus is God? I thought I'd get a few more amens than that. How many know Jesus is God? Amen. Amen. That's paramount. We believe that. He's more than a prophet. Amen. Look at someone say he's more than a prophet. Amen. Because there's a lot of that prophet thing going on. And so here they are with God, and they're going to Jerusalem to worship at God's ceremony, and they lose God. How do you lose? Listen, do you know that I've seen so many people over the years in ministry for God lose God? That you can be here in ministry in God's house and you can lose God in the ministry for God. They're going to Jerusalem. This is a religious festival. This is the Passover. They're honoring God by doing the Passover, what God told Moses to do. thousands of years before, and this is what they're doing, but they lose Jesus. How do you lose God when you're doing a work for God? So many times we think, oh, the people that lose God are the people that are wicked. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? What happened? Oh, they're just wicked. That's how they lost God. Listen, it doesn't always work like that. I've met so many. After being saved this long, I've met disciples that are in ministry lose Jesus. I've met wives that in ministry lose Jesus. I've seen pastors lose Jesus. In the ministry, serving and preaching about Jesus, week in and week out in the pulpit, and they lose Jesus. This is what, when good people lose, gee, how do you lose Jesus? And the Bible tells us, plain and straight, is they supposing him to have been in their company. That's what it says in the text. They assumed that Jesus was with them. An assumption. Pastor Peter used to always say to me as a disciple, when I was a disciple, and you'd like, have you done this? And I'd be like, oh, I thought so-and-so was going to do it. And he'd say, Courtney. He says, assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. He would always say that. Assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. And maybe I've said it to some of you. That's what discipleship is. I got it. I give it. Amen. Better to give than to receive. But assumptions can be dangerous. Let me start by just saying this. Assumption. There may be some people here that because you've come to church, you assume you're saved. Because you come to church, you assume that you are saved. Coming in this building don't make you saved no more than if I walk into your university means I'm going to get a master's degree. I could sit in the class with you, sneak in there and just sit in the class. How many know I didn't enroll? My name is not on their register. And so one day God's going to call out his register. And you better make sure that you weren't just sitting in someone else's class. That you is actually, no, I'm saved. I remember I put my hope in Christ. I confessed him as my Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is in him. If someone was to say to you, why should God allow you into heaven? You can say, I will get to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for me and I gave my life to him. My life is no longer mine. It's no longer mine. Have you come to that place where you realize your life is no longer yours? Are you still living your life for you? Listen, Jesus wants to be your Savior, but he has to be your Lord. Let's not assume today, because I come to church, I'm saved. Assuming can be dangerous. Here they are. They've gone to Jerusalem. They come in, and they're assuming Jesus is with me. He's always with me. That's what the Bible says. They supposed that he was with them, and so they didn't check. I think I told the story one time. Once me and my wife were traveling, and I assumed I had the passport. Halfway to the airport, and then realized I didn't have it. I had to go back. See, assumptions can be dangerous. See, many times we can assume we're in the will of God because God's into what we're into. We can assume that God is into what we're into. What we want to do, when it says the word assumption, means according to custom. And what we can do many times is we can believe, because it's our custom, it's his custom. That what God is, because I'm into it, God is into it. That God understands right now I've got to put my education first. Or I've got to put this first or that first. My family first. And so I've got to put the church first. God is like, no, listen, nothing goes first. Jesus is first. Don't assume that God, listen, God understands where we all are, but he never accepts excuses. There's not one scripture in the Bible that we see Jesus accepting excuses. Doesn't matter what that excuse is. And sometimes we can assume, and this is how, unfortunately, we lose Jesus. And you know when we realize we've lost Jesus? When we realize we can't find him. When you're looking in your marriage and you can't find Jesus. There's not much Jesus in that marriage. There's not much Jesus in that marriage. Now we're looking for Jesus and we're like, oh my days, where's Jesus in this marriage? Or where's Jesus in my singleness? Where is he? Where is this Christ likeness where we look at our lives and we come to a place where we've got to examine our hearts sometimes and say, listen, is there something happening here that I've got to deal with? When we become full of fear, when we come up against an obstacle and then we're like, where's Jesus? See, all this time we assumed he was with us. How many know when things are getting worse? Just assuming. I've come from Jerusalem, ready. And then we hit a thing and then, I'm overcome by fear. Where's the confidence that Jesus brings? Can't find him. Or anxiety. This is the sign. Listen, so many times we can be assuming, coming to church, busy in church. You know, one of the things I really would stress as we move forward as a church is quality over quantity. You know, one of the things about pioneering, you know, we've pioneered this church, is that you're always busy. When you're pioneering, you're always busy. You're starting the church. We're having concerts all the time. And because you're just trying to get somehow somebody in the church, some way. Anybody that comes in, you're so grateful. You're just, oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Praise God. And so, but the downside of that is you can start to become so busy with events that you start to believe that if you get everybody to the events, they are growing. They are developing. But I want to tell you, attending events alone doesn't make you grow. See, we can be assuming that because you come to every service, I can be assuming, because I see you here on a Sunday and a Wednesday, is that you're growing. But there may come a point when you hit an obstacle or you step into another arena of life. And that's when we're going to say, can we find Jesus? Where there is anger, can we find Jesus? Where there is bitterness. Basically, are we seeing Christ's likeness? See, sometimes as a Christian, you got to look at yourself and say, hold up, hold up. God is going to bring you to a place in your life where he's going to say, listen, you got to deal with this. You got to deal with this now. You got to deal with this. And how many have ever thought, oh, yeah, I got this now. Like, yeah, I'm kind of cool, got this. And then something happens and you blow up. Yeah? And then you realize, my days, woe is me. Woe is me. Can I confess something to you? Something that happened to me? No, I can't say no. Shall I say it? Can I confess? It's my, is it? Don't tell nobody. And so, a few weeks ago, I was coming to church. See, my wife is laughing already. It's road rage. And so, someone had, I'd gone up one of these slim, you know, these slightly roads, just down the road there as it goes. So I've come up this road, halfway up this road, and this car has zoomed down. And I'm like, you could have just pulled in and let me through, but you refused. So I'm going to do the Christian thing. So I reverse halfway down the road. Let the guy out. The guy don't even say nothing. He's just, but no problem. I'm a Christian. So I drive up the road again, and someone else does it. I'm like, no, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. My wife said, that's me. I'm not moving. And so, I got to be careful how to say this. No, nothing happened. Because you're like, some of you want drama. There's no drama, man. There may be some drama, but not that drama. But, and so I get out of the car. And I explain to the guy, I am not moving. You are going to move. There's two guys in the car. They're quite sizable. So God had grace on me. God's like, listen, I got to help this little skinny brother out, man. Because God just kept him in the car. It's like, listen, he's just stay here. Thank God. And so they moved the car. And as I drove off, God's like, what was that? What was that? Where's Jesus? And I said to my wife, I think
think I still have a bit of an issue with my temper sometimes. I think I could get, you know, it's like God was revealing to me once again afresh, like, bro, listen, you better deal with this temper. You better deal with this thing. See, I can't be walking around assuming because I'm a pastor that I've arrived. I've been to Jerusalem. I've been to Tucson and Prescott. I'm from Rotherhithe. I'm part of Potter's House. Listen, let's none of us assume. Let us look in our hearts and say, can we find Jesus? Can you find him? Listen, young person, youth, can you find Jesus? Older person, single person, married person, parent, can you find Jesus? Or let's not assume that he's with us. See, what had happened here is the Bible says in, could we put the text back up from 42, verse 42, if we can get that text back up. Look what it says here. It says his parents went to Jerusalem every year to the feast. And 42 says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up, they went up to Jerusalem according as was the custom of the feast. Next verse, please. And when they had finished the days, they returned. So they went up, they went to Jerusalem. When they had finished, they returned. And I was reading this and I was like, they don't understand or appreciate what's going on here with Jesus. Jesus is here. They're not, you know, think about it now. You know that this, you know, this is the Son of God you've got with you and you're going to Jerusalem. But they're like, we've been here for 12 years. We've been doing this, man. We can go up and come back, go up and come back. And I want to tell you, sometimes we can make our Christianity about this is that it's just about going in and going out. I come to church, I checked into church, and I've gone out. And then I'm back to my normal life. Some of you might have come into church today like that. I've just come into church, come in, show my face, done it, and I'm going to check out, back to my normal life. That's how we are. We just check in and check out. And when we have that mindset, this is when we're in danger of losing Jesus, because the Bible says that they checked in, checked out, but the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. See, God doesn't want to check in and check out religion or relationship with you. He wants to linger with you. He wants to linger with you. He wants to spend time with you. You can't just check in and check out with God. You can't just get your hole punched with God. You can't work with God like that. He wants to spend time with you. You may know a lot of good things. You may have biblical knowledge. You may listen, they've been to Jerusalem. These are good people. But what God wants, he says, listen, I want to spend time with you. No. I don't want to leave Jerusalem yet. I want you to remain here for a little bit. This is how many lose Jesus, is because we've forgotten how to linger with God. See, God is a God who wants to linger with us. Think about how God reveals the tabernacle to Moses. He takes him up onto the mountain, and for 40 days, he's with Moses. 40 days, that's a long time. God could have just downloaded it on him like that. It doesn't take 40 days to give you 10 commandments. God made the world in 6. Why keep him up there for 40 days? Because he wants to linger with you. See, it's not about just coming into church and leaving. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to linger with you. Jesus goes into the wilderness. How long is Jesus in the wilderness for? 40 days. Before Jesus starts his ministry, we would have been like, Jesus, this is so important. This is so important. We need Jesus. He's the Savior. God's like, no, his ministry can't start until these 40 days. We need to spend time. We need to linger. We're going to spend time. This is what we're going to do. The church, how long before we get the Holy Spirit? Jesus says, tells them, listen, wait. Acts 1 verse 4, look what it says is, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Not to depart from Jerusalem. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but I shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Imagine this now. Let's paint the scenario. Jesus has died, resurrected. These are the only men that have the gospel. We would have said, quickly, go and spread the gospel around the world. That's what we would have said. This is ASAP. This is emergency. Every day you don't spread the gospel is being hindered. Jesus says, no, I don't want you to go yet. I want you to wait here. I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Wait in my presence. They're in God's presence and they're praying and they're seeking God. And God says, because listen, you got to linger with me. If you're going to have power, you're going to have to linger with me. Sometimes we're in a situation and we want to get out of it. The word linger means to be patient. You can get out of a situation and get into another situation, but really and truly, you didn't get out of it what you needed to. James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so sometimes God is going to say, we're going to linger here for a while. I don't like this, God. God's like, being patient. I don't like this. I want out of this. And before God has led you out, you step out. There are people that, the reason why God has got you in there, because look what he says at the end of it, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What that means is mature. That God wants you to be mature. See, there are people in the house of God and they lack spirituality. They haven't got out of it. So this is, say that God's got me in singleness right now. I'm in singleness. God's like, tarry here for a while. Let's just linger here. No, I don't want to linger here. I'm going to step out of singleness into marriage. The problem was you're incomplete. You're incomplete. You should have lingered. So, and now what happened was you get into marriage with incomplete. What are you doing now? I want to get out of marriage. Look at someone say, ouch. See, listen. I realized for so many years when I was single, it was so painful at times. Listen, I'm just going to keep it real, man. I told you about my anger. I'm going to tell you about some other stuff. It was painful. But what I realized in the process of all of this lingering, God was perfecting me and completing me. And I had to linger here and wait for him before I stepped in. Some of you now, you may be in marriage. Listen, maybe what you should have learned there, you didn't, but you can learn it here. Don't give up. Linger. God's going to come through for you. Linger here. Why is God allowing this? Listen, linger here. Because he says this, the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its full work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. One day we're going to stand before God. I don't want to be lacking. We need to linger. See, when you linger, this is where the strength comes from. How many have ever prayed for strength? You know where you get the strength from? It's by lingering. It's like, no, I need a strength. No, I want out. Look what he says in Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait, linger on the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, this is what God, when we're talking about waiting, we're not just talking about, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting, man. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being, it's a posture of being spiritual in God's presence. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of, in his word, it's a place where God, I need your direction. It's a place of, listen, I'm coming to church. I'm kind of going through a routine, but you know what? I'll be honest, I'm not hearing God. Linger. It's a place where you say, God, I'm not moving until you speak to me, because I know you're a God who speaks. You can be going so long, and if you're honest, you haven't heard God speak. And God is like, listen, I want you to linger. Jesus wanted to linger. The boy Jesus said, no, I'm not leaving Jerusalem yet. There's more stuff we need to do. In Isaiah, it says, listen, if you linger with God, you find new strength. Do you feel weary? I want to tell you, there is new strength. You just haven't lingered. Sometimes people get in a cycle of spiritual, carnal. When you're spiritual, linger there. But it's getting so hard right now. Linger. Because what's going to happen is at that time and in that place, as you linger, God's going to renew your strength, and you go from spiritual to spiritual to spiritual to spiritual. He wants to renew your strength. You know, sometimes it's hard to linger. How many know it's hard to linger in His presence? It's hard. Listen, sometimes it's hard. I realize you can get everybody to do anything. You know the hardest thing to get the church to do? Pray. It's the hardest thing, man. It's the hardest thing to do, because praying is lingering in His presence. You know, it took them one day to lose Jesus. The Bible said they went a day's journey. You know, it took 3 days to find Him. One day to lose Him, 3 days to find Him. You know why? Because when they wanted to find Him, the first place they went was to their friends and relatives. How many of us, how we are many times? When we can't find Jesus, we hit a problem. We go to our old life. We go to man. Listen, the pastor's here to help you, but have you prayed? Have you prayed? Have you prayed? Have you prayed? This is why we have prayer before service, so you can linger with God before the word is preached, before you worship Him. He said, you'll mount up with wings like eagles. You know what it's saying? It's saying that you will soar above things. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. It's talking about longevity. I realize this. People that spend time in His presence make it over the long haul. People that spend time in God's presence make it over the long haul. It's not about 1 year, 2 years. There is a plan that God has for you, and it comes when you linger in His presence. Do you linger in prayer? How's your prayer life? Have you made time for prayer? Do you linger in the Word? Do you come to God and pray and then say, God, I need an answer? Does God speak to you? You know, sometimes people say to me, oh, God told me this. I'm like, why would God tell you something that contradicts the Bible? That's not God. God wouldn't tell you those things. Because we're quickly in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. I've lost Jesus. I've lost Jesus. Where is the Christ likeness bleeding out of me? Where is the fire? Where is the... I want to tell you, God is saying, if you would just linger with me, if you will spend time with me, if you will seek me, they find Jesus in the temple. Luke 2 verse 49, look what it says. And He said to them, why do you seek for me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? This is glorious, because I know where we can find Jesus. If you've lost Him, we know where we can find Him, because He's always about the Father's business. The Bible says that, verse 46, now, so it was that after 3 days, They found him in the temple. Remember I said it? They went a day's journey. It took them 3 days to find him because they didn't go to the temple straight away. Sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Jesus says, I must be in my Father's house. That's what it means. That word business is actually not in the Greek. What he's saying is, I must be in my Father's house. I must be in the place where God dwells. I have a hunger. The whole purpose of Christianity. What is the whole purpose of Christianity? Think about it. What is the whole purpose of Jesus? The Bible says, no man comes to the, except through the. The whole purpose of Jesus is to bring us to the Father. See, that's what it's all about. Everything else is secondary. This is all about you and your Creator. This is what your heart yearns for. Your heart yearns for this. I know right now, oh no, I got to make some money. Listen, make all the money, but don't make the money the Father. Oh no, I need to get married. Listen, we're all into marriage, but marriage is not the Father. One day, this life is going to... I was sitting in Asda's today. I had to pick up Pastor, and then it wasn't worth me going home. So I was in Asda's in the caf there for about 3 hours just doing some work. And I was sitting down, and some old people, you know, old people love caf. And so there's coming in the caf, and so we was chilling in there. And I was looking at these old people, and I was like, Connie, that'll be you soon, if you're lucky. And I see them moving. And I was thinking, when I'm that age, what will I think of my life? What will I be thinking of? I want to be thinking, listen, kingdom business. As I saw these men sitting there, and these older men, and they got up, and their strength has gone from them. At one time, they might have been strong and boisterous, but it's gone from them. Every single one of us one day is going to stand before the Father. I want to tell you that right now, this is what God wants for us. Some of you here, if you think, you know what, if I'm honest, I think I've lost something. There is an easy approach here. The Bible says that they found Jesus. This is very simple, three things, and then I'm going to pray. After 3 days, they found him in the temple. It's about God's house. I don't just mean the church. I mean, it's you spending time with God. Making it about him. Making it about him as your Father. Not as your this distant deity. Your Father. He loves you. He was sitting in the midst of the teachers. Is that up there? Have we got that? Yeah, sitting in the midst of the teachers. Jesus, as a child, he says, you know what the Father wants? He wants you to sit among the midst of the teachers. You need to become teachable again. So many times, after a while, we think we figured everything out. We feel like we figured everything out. Become teachable. Go to the Word of God and be like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I need more of God. I need people to speak into my life. I need more. Among the teachers, look what he said here. Listening to them and asking questions. Listening to them and asking questions. Humility. Humility. If we would be a people and say, you know what, I want to spend time with God. I'm going to make this my endeavor. I'm going to wait upon the Lord, and I want him to renew my strength. God wants to bring a fresh, new visitation to your spirit, to your family, to your house. You make this yours. The last thing I say is this. God doesn't want you to experience God through me. God wants you to experience God for yourself. How do you measure if it's, is this me? Or is this just the momentum? Is this me or is this just them? When no one's watching, what are you doing? Like, with God, what are you doing when no one's watching? What if tomorrow they outlawed the church and we had to run away and live in our houses? Would you still be able to function just to get up and read your Bible and get on your knees and say, God, I want to meet with you today. Meet with me. Download on me. I want to tell you right now that day may come. And if we're not ready, if we ain't prepared, some of us will just wig out. We need to be those that are right now, while we got church and the blessing of church, but I want to tell you, spend time, linger in his presence, come to prayer, get up in the morning and pray. Pray in the afternoon if you need be. But spend time in his presence. There's things that have been troubling you for so long. How's the balance? Work, kids, this. How do I do singleness? Listen, God is like, yeah, you asking all these questions, but some of it I'm reserving for me. I'm going to download it on you. Come to me. And as you spend time with him, he's going to give you a clear direction. Our God speaks. Let's linger in his presence. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.